Blog Talk Radio. Live with Barrett. I am your host, Barrett Clemenson-Powell, and I've been doing a series of interviews with some wonderful entrepreneurs from around the world. And today we are taking a visit over to the Commonwealth of Massachusetts in the U.S., Salem, I believe we are going to. And we are going to be talking today with business law entrepreneur Faith McClure. She is an attorney who has started an entrepreneurial venture that she will talk with us about. She's an author and instructor and backed by nearly 20 years of experience. She is helping businesses with their legal and business needs. So are you there, Faith?
Hi, Barrett. This is Faith. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. You're very, very welcome. Yes, so, we have a wonderful weather, wonderful spring weather today. And that really kind of pumps me up, makes me feel really good. And now you are in Salem?
Right now I'm calling in from Salem, Massachusetts. Yes, I kind of split my time between Florida and Massachusetts.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I kind of split my time between San Diego, La Jolla, California, and Copenhagen, Denmark. And I'm having a pit stop actually
wonderful.
Now, not too far from you in New England. So, so that's one of the joys of also getting to be an entrepreneur. So, Faith, you are an attorney. And I met you in the context of online teaching. So I'm wondering, can you kind of give us a little bit of background? What was your what gave you that passion for going into the law? And then how has that now shifted helped you to transition into teaching and writing?
Well, it's an interesting story. I think entrepreneurs often have interesting stories about how their path has developed. And so with me, I grew up in Massachusetts, went to college at Tufts University near Boston, Massachusetts. And after college, I had planned to go to graduate school to study healthcare management. But after working in the field for a couple of years, I decided I did not want to do that. And I started considering law school really because a bunch of people throughout my whole life had said, you would be a great lawyer. And so I had always kept that in mind. And it's kind of funny looking back on it because I'm not really sure they might have meant it as an insult, but I didn't take it that way. And so I went to law school.
You're one of the lawyers that we won't kill.
Right. So I started law school in Syracuse University, and by the time I had started law school, I was I had a toddler and was a single mom. And by the way, people always say, how could you possibly go to law school with a small child? And I tell people, it was tough going to law school with a toddler, but actually not as tough as what it was like once I was out of school and working with a young child. Because in school, you have long vacations. You don't necessarily have class every day. And other than finals times, which were a challenge, it was much more difficult after I graduated when my daughter was four, juggling difficult bosses, traffic, inflexible daycare, et cetera. But anyway, so after law school, I eventually started a solo law practice in Massachusetts. And by the way, my current business, solo professor, is kind of a twist on the term solo practice.
Okay.
And in my practice, I was helping small businesses and nonprofits, and I loved what I did. I loved my clients, and it was really rewarding. While I was doing that, I was voted a top 10 corporate lawyer in a publication called Women's Business Boston. And I laughed because one of my clients was quoted by the paper saying, Faith has really helped us a lot because she taught us how not to need her services, which is sounds like a crazy business model, but actually they did need my services, but they used me proactively instead of responding to crises as they came up. So I really enjoyed helping businesses.
Isn't that the point of having a lawyer, actually, because you really don't necessarily want to go to trial? You don't want to go to court. You want to try to settle out of court with agreements and such?
Right. But my work was even more proactive than that. I really tried to help my clients know spot issues way before they come up so they could really prevent even having problems arise that might require litigation. So I loved doing that, but then the recession hit, and my clients started closing their businesses, and times were really tough for a small business lawyer like me. And my daughter was in high school getting ready for college, and so I closed my law practice in 2008. And I was then fortunate to get a job in the legal department of a Fortune 500 company. I was negotiating software licenses and other technology agreements. Especially those around mobile apps. That was the team at that company I worked with. I was very fortunate to get a job at a time when so many people were losing their jobs. And I think that was because I had always had a large network of people, and I didn't hesitate to reach out to them when I needed help. So I enjoyed the work I was doing at that company, But I really didn't enjoy working for a large company itself, but luckily I was mostly able to work at home. I had done that, and then throughout all those years, I also had done a lot of teaching, which I discovered I loved teaching. I taught as a clinical instructor at Harvard Law School. I taught undergrads at Fisher College, which is a small school here in Boston, and I did a lot of lecturing.
I'm familiar with Tufts and Harvard and even Fisher. I am a graduate of Emerson.
Oh, okay. Wow. Emerson's a great school right in the heart of Boston. It's very vibrant and creative.
Yes.
So that was my background, what happened then after I was working for the Fortune 500 company was in 2012, I developed chronic daily migraines and wasn't able to work at all initially. And after my medical leave expired, I lost my job. And so that has been going on for a few years now. And I'm still on the path to recovery, but I wanted to start becoming productive again and find a way to make a living. And so starting Solo Professor has allowed me in creating and selling online business law courses to use my business and business law knowledge, have flexibility to deal with my medical issues, and to teach, which I love doing, and to be my own boss.
Okay, well,
so
that's
kind of the circuitous route that I took to get to where I am now.
Well, it's actually not too circuitous. It's a long journey, but hey, along the way in the journey, you picked up a lot. I mean, I'm listening to you. I mean, as an entrepreneur, you made sure you maintained a network so that when you needed, you could reach out. So, and you have been open and flexible with your skill set. Being able to branch out and be more than just one title, one job, and that's something that definitely has to go with entrepreneurship. You have to wear many hats. You have to be aware that you have you know, what your strengths are, and that you have more than one ability or gift. And I can hear that in your story.
Yes, yes. And I think that's a trait of entrepreneurs, that they tend to be the who have a lot of different things going on, even at the same time.
Yes. Well, wow. I'm really, really, truly impressed. Well, there's a lot of things that I wanted to kind of go back and forth with you on. So let's tackle. Let's see. I'll get it into the legal end. I wrote a blog article, which I think you've read, about different skills that women entrepreneurs happen to need, and there are there's a series of videos that have come out, and they define them as a finance, social media, marketing, work-life balance, negotiation, and legal. And right. Turn to you and ask you about that. It seems that there's a really strong need for women to be able to grasp how important that is, and for these videos also to come out speaks to the fact that there apparently is a real need, and that there is a, how do I want to say, a void, or that women entrepreneurs have not really taken this that seriously
I think
in the past.
True. Definitely. And I think
so
it's not only not taking it seriously, but trying to find the place to get information and advice that works for you is difficult.
If someone came to you and said, okay, I'm going to start as an entrepreneur, I'm going to launch my own business, doing whatever, what would be the first three things that you would say to them in terms of what they need to do or have legally?
Well, of course, if you go to a lawyer, any lawyer is going to say it depends, right? Because it really depends on your situation, and what kind of business you're in, whether you're working on your own, et cetera, what kind of going to have a limited liability company, et cetera. But I think in the courses I'm developing, I'm focusing on what I found to be the most common issues. For example, if you're working with someone else, and whether it's going to be a partnership, or you're going to form a corporation, or you're going to do some kind of joint venture, you really need to have an agreement between the business owners. And that's one thing that I think people often overlook. Because, again, it's hard to know where to look. Legal advice is expensive, and when you're starting up, that just might not be in the budget. And so one of my courses that I will be producing will be on teaching small business owners what the issues are around that and what you can do in an affordable manner to address those issues, again, keeping with the theme of avoiding problems before they come up.
Okay.
So that's definitely one issue. Another, if you have an online business, you're going to need some terms of use and or privacy policy, most likely, for example, on your website. And I think people understand that they need that. But when you go to company websites and you see what their lawyers have written up, it seems daunting and confusing, hard to sort through, hard to understand how that applies to your business, in what portions of it apply to your business. And so that's another course I'm working on how to understand the key issues that apply to your particular business so that you can have terms in the privacy policy that are relevant and still get the job done without crossing an arm and a leg.
Yeah. Okay.
But, the reality is most people who are starting a business, unless you have, lots of outside money, you're probably going to write that yourself. So this is, a target market that I'm looking to help.
Yes, people can be able to get this done without having to do an arm and a leg, because yes, most women are tending to they're bootstrapping their businesses, as they say. Most
exactly.
Women entrepreneurs are bootstrapping. They're not getting the big venture capital donations to influx of cash to start up their business.
And so a third area I would say generally is your agreements as a business with others, whether you're hiring independent contractors or your agreements with your customers, your agreements with your vendors, your agreements, all of those, understanding what are the issues that you need to cover. So whether, let's say you're a large company is considering hiring you, they'll probably send you an agreement, and you need to understand how to interpret that and negotiate where appropriate. Or if you're going to be hiring independent contractors to do some work for you in your business, you need to know what you need to include in that. And then, of course, of great importance is the agreement you have with your customers to make sure that the key issues are covered. It may be that you don't have a written agreement. Again, your website terms might cover that. You might not have written agreements. You might only have a few bullet point terms that apply to the deal. It's really going to vary depending on your situation. And those are some of the variables I'm going to cover in those courses.
Okay. Well, that sounds like a lot, and that's only the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
I want to talk some more. Definitely there's one word you said in there I want to kind of seize on after we take a little bit of a break. This is Live with Barrett, and I am your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell. We're talking with attorney and business law entrepreneur Faith McClure, and we'll be back in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and we are talking today with attorney and business law entrepreneur Faith McClure. And we've been talking about some of the things that you should have when you launch your entrepreneurial venture, maybe even before you do it, things that you need to get your legal grounding to be solid. And Faith, one of the things you talked about was agreements with, for example, people you hire or vendors, things like that, and that you said the word negotiate, and I think that's a really important word. That's something I think that women really need. And I mean, as an attorney, do you see that as part of your responsibility to negotiate for your client who comes to you to help them when you, or I shouldn't say to help them, but because you are helping them, when you're helping them to negotiate, do you do the research in terms of what they should be asking or what they could be getting, kind of a thing?
Well, so, you know, typically if you have the resources, you would hire a lawyer to most likely to negotiate your agreements for you. That's how it works in large companies. But we know for entrepreneurs, that's often just not going to happen. So really the goal with Solo Professor is to arm entrepreneurs with the information they need to do this. You will have to at least understand what you're looking at if someone sends you an agreement, and hopefully to negotiate. And unfortunately, it's still true that more women than men struggle with feeling comfortable with negotiating, and especially where it comes, where it has to do with money around issues around money. So those are some of the things that I address in my courses. And my first course is actually going to be about collecting the money that you've already earned. When I started my law practice, I found that I had many successful female entrepreneurs as clients who were successful in the fact that they were getting clients and doing work, but they often were not getting paid. And sometimes that was because of deadbeat clients, but oftentimes it really was because one, there maybe wasn't a good agreement in place, so there was ambiguity and, you know, the deal went sour, or because the business owner really didn't feel comfortable negotiating either before the fact or after the fact when it came time to get paid. So my first course is really going
to
focus on...
But you want to have to negotiate when it's time to get paid. You don't want to be negotiating. You just want to get paid.
Exactly. And so, right, the two go hand in hand. You can see how having a strong agreement that's strong and protecting you, but also really clear, is very important. But my first course that I'm working on right now, I'm going to tackle this issue head on. This course is going to be aimed at the small business owner who has and now is not getting paid. Maybe it's a big customer, or maybe it's a recurring problem with many customers. Or if you're just starting out and you want to have an idea of what these issues are so you don't get into that situation.
Is this like debt collection?
Right, so this is debt collection law for small business, what to do when your customer doesn't get paid.
Okay. I think that, yes, you will have many people who will want that because we have many people in debt, which means there are people to whom they owe that debt. And I think this is something wonderful to have, especially as an entrepreneur, because you don't want to have to negotiate when it comes time to get paid. At least I don't. I do just want to get paid. And I know as an entrepreneur, that's the one thing is don't mess with my money. But that's just in general. Anyway, don't mess with my money.
Right.
Person when it comes to my money. I want my pay.
And I am the same way. You know, you can see how someone starts a business and they have unresolved issues about talking about money, that this would become an issue that just would permeate every aspect of the business.
So in a way, there's a big psychological aspect to it because people carry a lot of baggage about money.
Yes, definitely. And really, it's just something if you're not used to doing and you're starting a business, you have to just do it. And like other things, the more you talk about money, you'll feel more comfortable about it.
Okay, so is that something that you also do or have done with clients or will somehow incorporate into your course?
So it was interesting when I started my law practice, I didn't really anticipate that was going to be a big issue. But I found, okay, this person, you know, is not getting paid, what's the heart of the issue? And like I said, sometimes it was because the agreement they had, for example, if someone hires you to develop a website and you're not clear about what the deliverables are, when they will be delivered, you know, all of the details that go into that, you can really get yourself into a pickle. But also, let's just say everything along that with the contract is fine, but then, you know, things happen. Customers, you know, they have money problems of their own, or, you know, they try to nitpick after the fact to bring down the cost. If you don't feel comfortable, that's where the issues are going to come up. And so I found this was the case with a lot of my clients, not just women, but definitely more women than men. And so with my courses, I'm helping people to feel more confident. One thing I've learned is the more knowledgeable you are about the issues, the more comfortable you'll feel about negotiating them. So knowledge does empower people and helps people to see that, this is what we agreed to. It was very clear. I walked you through this, and now, you know, you agreed to pay me this on this date, and now it's time to pay up. So helping people in that way, empowering them, really.
Well, I think this is definitely something that's needed. I know I've had the personal experience the professional experience myself of in dealing with money issues. And it used to be I think it was about three times. It was probably three times. The third time it was like, okay, that's it. Learned my lesson, where I allowed people to pay me in installment, and what they would do would be take, you know, figure that they'd had enough of the service, or they figured they'd gotten pretty much what they needed out of me, and then they weren't, you know, they could, you know, the rest they could just say, okay, well, forget about it, and not pay me.
Right.
So I would get a quarter of the payment, or, you know, or a half of the payment, because I just had such a good heart. I just thought, oh, okay, you know, and oh, boy, after about, I think it was three times, I said, no, you know, that's it. And so now my policy flat down is 100% payment up front before I do one stitch of work, before I open my mouth, before I extend my hand, nothing, 100%. And it has to be clear in my account, 100%, before we can get together. And there are no refunds.
Right.
There are absolutely. So, I had to work that, because I did have two clients twice use PayPal to use the service and then ask for a refund 30 days later, and PayPal actually would give it to them.
Right. And so that is
one
approach is making sure that you get paid up front and that you're clear about refunds, for example, as you're talking about. And for some people that will work, but also for certain businesses, that model is not going to work. It's really, again, going to depend on your business, your clientele, et cetera. And so dealing with what happens when you can't get cash up front, you have to deal with that issue, and that's also something I deal with in the first course, the section on selling on credit, whatever form that is, whether it's payment over time, you know, that can be lots of different ways that can happen. And the pros and cons of doing that, and how to address some of these issues in the context of the fact that maybe in a particular business you really need to sell on credit. So I address that issue too.
Yes, well, it's definitely very, very important, because it's important. I mean, yes, you want to, especially, for example, what I do is basically kind of a one-to-one thing. I'm not offering anyone a physical product, so it takes a lot of my time and my energy and my creativity, what I offer to people, what I give to people. And I like to be respected, and I think that's also an issue when you're talking about negotiation. You have to respect yourself. You have to say, I know my value, I know my worth, and I am going to get paid. And I don't think for me it wasn't really so much of a I don't know that for me it was a gender issue so much. It was just more general, maybe a bit of a naivete that others would be as honest and ethical as me. But once I got those three times, that was it. That was, okay, nope. And I changed the way that I did things. But I think it is very important for women to know how to negotiate. There's a very important book called Women Don't Ask, as the phrase you were saying. It's called Women Don't Ask, and I believe it can be found on Amazon.com, and it is about a negotiation and developing a negotiation skill. So, all right, I want to talk a little bit more about life for you as an entrepreneur and how you're working out what you do with your real life. So we're talking with attorney and business law entrepreneur Faith McClure. She is the owner of Solo Professor, which has courses, online courses on business law. My name is Barrett Clemenson Powell. This is Live with Barrett, and we'll be back in a moment. Hello and welcome back to Live with Barrett. I'm your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and we are in the midst of a wonderful conversation with business law entrepreneur and attorney Faith McClure. She's the owner of Solo Professor, which offers online courses to help businesses to meet their legal and business needs. We've been talking about some of the things that you need to launch your business, agreements and things that you should have in place, skills you should have in place. We've been talking about negotiation and making sure that you get paid. So I want to talk with you, Faith, now about how you are pulling together your life as an entrepreneur, what, say, a typical day might be like, and how that jives with your real life, with your personal life, and what kind of support you are having as an entrepreneur.
Okay, great. So let's see, where to start? In a typical day, in addition to creating the content, that's the courses that I offer, I spend a lot of time learning new things. Other than directly related to the services that I'm selling and the products I'm selling. So in addition to keeping up with business law, for example, I am learning a lot about marketing, video recording techniques, social media management, website tools, search engine optimization, all of those kinds of things. I spend a lot of time every day on learning new things. And then next, a lot of time just getting the business name out there in front of people, networking, social media, interviews okay. like this. And people, I think, starting a new business often underestimate how much time you need to spend to really get your, you build your brand and get your name out there.
How many hours a day would you say that part takes?
Well, I think it will shift over time, right, depending on kind of what phase you're in. In the startup phase, I would say, geez, probably 60 to 70% of my time on most days is spent kind of something related to getting my, you know, business name out there.
And, all right. So which could you maybe break that down in terms of hours? Are you talking about this would occupy 8 hours of someone's day and then there's, you know, or is it more like 5 hours or?
Well, I think when people are working for themselves, they tend to work much more than an 8-hour day. But that
okay.
will depend on your situation. With me, as I mentioned, I'm still suffering from chronic migraine. And one of the great things about working for myself is that if I need a day off or a couple hours off, I can give myself that, generally speaking. But when I'm feeling up to it, I tend to work a lot of hours. You know, I give myself breaks periodically throughout the day. But that's just kind of my workflow. And I think for a lot of people that's the case. But it will depend on what other kind of demands you have
yeah.
going on
it's
in
very,
your life.
It's very easy as an entrepreneur to work from home and find yourself putting in 12, 15-hour days if you don't watch
right.
your time. Right. So good time
but
management is
all of those things I mentioned,
important.
Like social media, et cetera, you know, each one takes a lot of time. So you really have to plan on that, spending time every day doing all of that, unless you have someone in your business or someone you are paying to do that for you.
Okay, so, all right, so, now, on the personal side, do you have someone who's supporting you? And I bring this up because, again, as I was saying with someone else that I interviewed, and terribly I got the person's name wrong, not the person I was interviewing, but the person I was talking about, Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, her husband, David Goldberg, just died. He had an accident. He fell off of a treadmill and apparently hit his head and died. One of the things she talked about at his funeral service, and that she's talked about in the past, is that he has been a great partner to her, that he was the one who actually got her to go in and negotiate and say what she wanted to work at Facebook, and that she has that position today because he was backing her 100%, and he was well known for backing her such that, you know, he was a real partner in their marriage. So she was really able to do a lot in terms of work.
Right.
Where
I
on
think
the scale
it's important.
Do you fall with that?
Well, I think in general it's important for entrepreneurs to understand when you're starting a business, everyone needs to be on board. Your family or whoever is in your immediate circle. You can't really go into it thinking that the routine is not going to change or that you're going to be able to just work a light schedule because you're your own boss. And with myself, I'm fortunate right now. My daughter is now grown and she is off living in California. So I don't have those kinds of family demands. But everyone needs support, and I certainly have that. I have a supportive boyfriend, and again, going back to my large network of friends and colleagues. One organization that's helped me is called New England Business Associates, NEBA, N-E-B-A. They offer mentoring and training to people with disabilities who are transitioning back to work. and in my case, to self-employment. And I have a mentor there, Colleen Moynihan, who's helped me with the business plan, and she's a sounding board for whatever business issues come up, and she helps me to connect with other resources as those needs arise. So that's been a big help, as well as you mentioned, networking groups like the one that we met through, online and offline, are a big
yes.
source of support, not only sharing resources, but emotional and social support, because you can be isolated when you're working for yourself.
Yes, yes. Well, it sounds like you do have a good support community around you, and yes, that is definitely very important to have that support. I have the stories of a lot of entrepreneurs, particularly women entrepreneurs, about what they have behind them. And I know, for example, my own story, I don't have a lot of family support in terms of being an entrepreneur. It's not so much an against, but just a lack of support. But I have a lot of support in terms of colleagues, in terms of networks and organizations, things such as you've talked about. And I think that's important for women to get out there and to be able to pull that together for themselves. If you don't have it, get out there and actively seek it and, you know, put it together for yourself.
Definitely. And even like, you know, if you can't get out of the house to go to a lot of events, that's fine. Network with people online. You know, find groups online that you can talk to and rely on, and definitely build a support network. It's too hard to go it 100% on your own. I think that can be kind of a positive trait and a possible weakness of entrepreneurs, because we tend to be the kind of people who are willing to go it alone and go against the grain. But I think you need to moderate that and remember to, you know, develop your network, engage with people, be a social creature, and reach out to people instead of trying to do everything all by yourself.
Yes, that's very true, because we think, okay, we put our heads down, we work so hard, I think we can get tunnel vision and
yes.
forget that we need to get out. Is there anything in particular about your life as an entrepreneur that is something you think you'll look back on and say, "Wow, I really remember that," or "I can't believe I did that thing."
I think for me, really, it's I get such a charge out of helping other businesses succeed. It's just, it's really what makes me feel great about myself, not only my own business, but knowing that I'm helping others to achieve their dream, whatever it is, you know, whatever reasons they're starting their own business or whatever it is that they're doing. And it's particularly fun because my clients are doing, you know, all kinds of things. And so I get to have a glimpse into their various businesses and feel that I'm part of that. And that's really something that I love to do. And also kind of bringing a little, you know, shaking things up a little bit in the legal profession, providing alternate ways to get legal information to people that is affordable and practical and useful to them.
Yeah, well, that, you know, I can see, yes, shaking up the legal profession, because a lot of times when people, I think that might also be something, and you can speak to this, I think that is something that also makes people shy away from getting the things done that they need to get done legally, because they say, oh, well, a lawyer, I have to pay them $400 or $200 or $600, you know, an hour, and I just don't have that, so I can't afford legal services.
Right. So there's several barriers to getting legal services in the traditional way of going and hiring a business lawyer. One is what you just said, the cost. Another is that lawyers might be out of touch with kind of what your business realities are. And And I think that's one of my strengths, is because I love business and I understand technology, I'm really interested in learning about people's businesses and understanding what they need from a practical perspective. But also the way that our legal system is structured, each state in the United States has different laws governing businesses, and lawyers are licensed and trained state by state. So it can be difficult for a business that is, let's say, an online business who has customers throughout the country or throughout the world, to find a lawyer that is paying attention to the fact that they don't just want to know about Massachusetts law. And, again, to do that in an affordable, practical manner, it is a challenge.
How do you handle that through Solo Professor? So, say, for example, my business is based in California, so, and I want to get some, you know, legal documents down. I want to get things solidified. How would you handle the fact that some of my things may need well to pertain to the state of California?
So, some of the ways that I'm addressing that is by empowering business owners with letting them know how they can find the information they need as particular to their state, if they need to know about state law, and or to their particular business, whether you provide services or you own a restaurant or whatever it is. So pointing people in the direction of resources, but also educating entrepreneurs about what are the key issues. The lawyer we're trained, we call this issue spotting. So you understand what issues you need to be on the lookout for so that you can make sure that you have your bases covered with regard to those issues.
Okay. All right. Well, I know for me that would be kind of a load off of my mind, and I'm sure that really would for other people. What would you say is what you're doing? I haven't really looked myself. Are you unique in your field? Are there many others who are doing this? Where do you see something such as a Solo Professor going in terms of business and online?
There are some materials for people. There's certainly do-it-yourself legal written materials, books, and there are some video materials. But I think they don't quite have the same angle that I'm taking in terms of empowering people to address these issues going forward and be proactive.
Okay.
So the materials I'm producing are going to be available in video, audio, and some written materials, and so that people can access this information, whatever works best for them. And I think that's going to be another thing that will help people, because they can digest it in small bits. So if you have only 5 minutes today to devote to legal issues, quote unquote, you can digest one lecture of one of my courses and then start putting that into place right away.
Okay, and are you also offering people any additional, if they want to have some one-to-one time with you, do you offer that kind of a service in addition to your courses on Udemy?
No, I'm not practicing as a lawyer, and so I'm not doing that kind of work now.
Yeah. Okay, so it would be through the courses that they take with you. But again, when just so people know, when you take a course on, I should say it's Udemy, not Udemy. Once you purchase one of Faith's courses, you have lifetime access to that course. So you can refer to it again and again and use the resources there again and again at your own leisure.
Right. And so my first course, as I mentioned, the debt collection law for small business, what to do when your customer doesn't pay, should be live within a month. And you can go to my website, soloprofessor.com, to
which is
see
listed on the episode page. Yes, we've listed that.
You can
for people.
You can see a free preview of the course. The introductory video is posted on my website, and you can find out how to get the course for $1. Their regular price is $49.
$1.
Yes.
$1.
That's the introductory pricing just for visitors on my website. So check out soloprofessor.com. And that course, when it's live, I'll be providing coupons for the course for $1.
So people basically are getting hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars of legal help for $1.
Yes.
Okay, I think anyone listening, you have a small business, or you're an entrepreneur. Your business doesn't even have to necessarily be small. You need to get over to Solo Professor and sign up for this course for $1 to have access to these resources. Even if you wait and you later pay $49, you're still getting quite a deal. But $1, I think it's, you should know a deal when you hear it.
Yes, I've priced the courses to be reasonable, of course, because that is one of my main goals. And I will eventually be having higher level courses that deal with more difficult issues like software licensing for software developers. But this course, like I said, the introductory price is $1, and then it will go up to $49. So please visit the site to check that out.
Okay. Well, that's something people definitely should do. Well, I don't know if there's anything else that you think that people should be aware of. Is there anything you would like, a message you want to get out to people who are launching a business and need to cover themselves legally?
Well, I think that one thing that I wanted to mention is that I would love to hear what issues the entrepreneurs would like to learn about. I'm always, open to new ideas of what courses I should be producing. So people can reach out to me on the website, or Solo Professor is on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, LinkedIn, however you prefer, and let me know what areas you would like to learn about through an online course, and I would be, consider producing a course on that.
Okay, that's a great offer. So just so everyone understands, if you have legal questions about starting a business, things that you would like to see covered in a course, information that you would like to be able to have lifetime access to, then get in touch with Faith McClure at Solo Professor at her website, or through Udemy when she has her course up. So you can contact her online, and she will actually consider putting that into a course or two or maybe three. If there's nothing else, I've really enjoyed talking with you today.
This has been great, Barrett. Thank you.
Has been very, very enlightening, and especially to talk about the things that we need to be aware of, and that a lot of women entrepreneurs also need to be aware of when starting a business, because you really do want yourself to be covered and you want to get paid.
Definitely.
Very
it's a frustrating effort if you do all the work and you don't get paid.
It's very, very frustrating when you don't get paid. So and hopefully you never get to the point of needing to do debt collection.
And this course, if you are in that situation, know that a lot of people have struggled with this issue. Don't be ashamed. That's why I'm making this course. But also, if you're just starting out and you don't have any customer fees that you are trying to collect yet, this course will hopefully guide you on how to avoid the pitfalls and not get into that situation.
Yeah. So if you're in a situation where you're not getting paid, just come on to Solo Professor and get the help that you need. Don't be ashamed. And if you don't have that problem, well, here's a way to make sure that you don't have the problem, that you can continue to avoid it in the future so that you can run your business well from a legal point of view. Well, this has been Live with Barrett, a conversation with business law entrepreneur Faith McClure. I am your host, Barrett Clemenson Powell, and I hope to bring you many more interesting entrepreneurs working in various fields. Today's niche was business law, and we've talked with someone in finance and in social media and in IT, and there are so many incredible entrepreneurs out there. I'm so glad that Faith could be with us here today. And if you want to contact me, you can always email me at info@barrettcpowell.com. That's barrettcpowell.com. info@barrettcpowell.com. If you have any suggestions for a topic or a person that you would like me to interview on the show, please send that along in an email. And I hope that if you are operating a business, you will continue to flourish in that business. And to everyone, I wish you a great day. Thank you, Faith, for being with us today.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. Have a wonderful afternoon.